Hi, everyone. Welcome again to another show with Elizabeth Ann Bach. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a segment with Cliff Harwin regarding highly sensitive people. Cliff Harwin, if you've been following us, has several different meetup groups that he works with and does some shows to educate people on highly sensitive people. After the show, I'm going to announce on my blog, which I often do, more information about the guest and where you can find the guest, the website, their Facebook, Twitter, and just a host of other information that will allow you to further connect with the guest. If you feel that you want to do that. Tonight we're going to discuss different topics that we haven't discussed before, some new things with you about the highly sensitive person. I'm going to announce my guest. Cliff, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Liz.
Hi, how are you?
Good, nice to talk to you again.
Good, you too. Cliff, first, I want to welcome you, and I'm really glad that we can, be together and do this. I'm very grateful, for everything that you're doing with this. We want to discuss some topics we haven't discussed before and kind of give people a better understanding of different things about the highly sensitive person. What we can start with is, how you've just kind of brought light into the darkness with some of this for some people. It brings probably a lot of closure to some unanswered questions that people have had. You do the, from your website, we know that you do these friendship circles. I just want to ask this before we get started into some of our questions. To kind of get us rolling on some of the feedback that you hear at these friendship circles. What's the biggest thing that you find is gratifying about the highly sensitive person and what these people get from these friendship circles that you do with them?
Okay, well, what I try to do is I try to shed light on the subject of highly sensitive people because a lot is not known about it. A lot of people have some degree of sensitivity, but if they're highly sensitive, it really is an inherited character trait. And it's basically an overactive nervous system, which means that we actually take in more information emotionally and physically than other people. So sometimes we can have the feeling of being overwhelmed. I'm on the high side of being highly sensitive, and it wasn't until 5 years ago that I really found out about this. When I got the information, I really felt that I did have some answers for myself, and the fact that it gave me more insight into the way I acted, the way I did, and felt the way I did in certain situations. And I really felt a sense of relief when I found out about the information. I felt that I understood myself better. And based on that, I was able to cope. I don't look at being as highly sensitive as being a negative trait. When I first found out about it, as I said, it was kind of a relief that I understood more about it. And
what do you find the people in the group, like what are some of the, you kind of lead these groups, am I right? You lead them and you initiate them, I should say.
Okay, well, we basically have discussion groups in person and also have teleconferences and teleseminars. And I encourage people to participate in the groups, but also to email me questions that they have.
I mean, you've had a lot of I think what I'm getting at is you've had a lot of people that have responded. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, really, an enormous amount of people have responded to you and have really, you know, seemingly come to this and said, wow, you know, I've never seen anything like this before, and I'm so glad that we have this. What's some of the feedback they give you? What do they say to you about it? What are their problems?
Well, the thing is, I find it very amazing, too. Technology being what it is, I'm getting questions from all over the world. And I'm just amazed that, you know, people are, they're asking me questions about it. Basically, they want to understand themselves better. They feel, I'm finding that when they didn't understand their high sensitivity, they feel that it's a negative rather than a positive. And, you know, I get emails about, you know, how they deal with other people, conflict, that, you know, we don't like conflict. Nobody likes conflict, but it's very hard sometimes. Certain people, we just have a hard time communicating with them and just being around them, especially.
So for the highly sensitive person, is keeping it into context, you know,
yes.
The highly sensitive persons, you know, they're thinking that, you know, you being in this position that you're educating them on this. And I know, you know, they're looking for answers and some kind of, you know, summaries on what and how do I deal with this.
How do you
know,
deal
I'm
with
a
that?
Highly sensitive person.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I couldn't do what I'm doing now if I didn't have a life experience.
Right.
Like I said, it's only been about 5 years since I've known about the trait, but I've kind of been forced to have coping strategies, and it's
sure.
really amazing how I was able to, you know, I've been self-employed for 30 years, and I'm in a service business where I deal with all different types of people, all different kinds of people in different situations, and it was very challenging to me to deal with these things, and I think that highly sensitive people have a knack for knowing how to deal with people, and I don't think that they have the confidence that they have the ability to do so. And what I try to do is to try to provide strategies on how to deal with certain situations. As I said, conflict resolution is a very big part. It's very, you know, it's a real challenge for highly sensitive people. In fact, I'm having a seminar this coming weekend in North Brunswick, New Jersey, March 21st. And also, I'm also having a teleseminar on March 25th. This information is on my website. It's about conflict. It's about how highly sensitive people can peacefully coexist with others. And I basically,
well, you know,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
What I try to do is to like role play with different people and different. If they're having a problem in a certain situation,
right.
What we try to do is to role play. And to actually deal with the situation. And also I provide handouts, whether it be a in-person meeting or whether it be on the phone. I provide an 8-to-10-page handout normally. And normally we go this information on how to deal with certain situations in the handout. But what I try to do is to try to have personal interaction in the in-person meetings and the teleseminars. Because I want people to get as much information as possible from a personal standpoint, as well as information they can look at, you know, after the meeting. I find that being on the high side of being a highly sensitive person, I kind of need to process information after a seminar rather than during, because I try to get as much information as possible, and I don't want to have people just being overwhelmed with information. So I try to put it in a way that's in a comfortable situation, that's realistic and something that they could really use, you know, after the seminar.
Well, you know, obviously that is an excellent way to deal with something like this, because it is something that you would probably work with better if you were actually in a situation and being able to practice, you know,
right.
It's
a matter of practice in all aspects of life. And when you don't, a big challenge of highly sensitive people is they don't understand their sensitivities and what sets them off. And the thing is, when they understand themselves better, they can work with their good qualities, which we do have. I mean, we're very likable people. People like us. People confide in us. They look at us for advice. And we can really utilize what we have if we know the positive traits of what we have. So I'm trying to put a positive aspect on it, because I'm hearing too many comments from people that don't really understand. And I really
Let's summarize this a little bit. There's a woman, and you've mentioned her before, but I just want to quickly go over something that she quote from her that you've said before as well. There's 15 to 20% of the population have this. It's not enough to be considered. It's too many to be considered a disorder, and not enough to be, but not enough to be understood. And what she means by that is that, you know, being studied as an innate trait. Biologists have studied this as a survival strategy. It's basically an observant type of behavior that that is a little bit on a deeper level. She also states that even though most people look at a highly sensitive person as being shy, actually there's a good percentage that are actually extroverts. And
right.
This has been misconstrued as people with inhibitedness, fearfulness, neuroticism, and or neuroticism, I should say. And that, you know, in and of itself kind of tells you that, you know, this is a trait that is not to be looked at as, you know, something negative. Like you were saying, people have a
right.
tendency. And because there isn't so much education about this, and people who feel these ways should be treated accordingly. And so that's why it's great what you're doing. And it's great that you are doing the role playing with people and
It was a real shock to me when I first found out about that. You know, it is true that Dr. Elaine Aaron did, you know, she did studies on this, and it was, you know, pretty extensive. And she estimates that 15 to 20% of the population, which is a huge group, are highly sensitive and don't know what it means. Okay,
right.
It isn't a negative thing. It's something that can be. It's something that it's a positive if you know how to work with it. But also, there's a lot of misconceptions with being a highly sensitive person. The shyness you mentioned, shyness. Well, shyness is not necessarily a highly sensitive person trait. You could have shy tendencies based on the childhood experience that you had. Okay, also you mentioned being an extrovert, being introverted, being a highly sensitive trait. Well, Elaine Aaron in her studies mentioned that 30% of highly sensitive people are extroverts.
Yep.
Okay, in my case, I'm not an extrovert, and I don't consider myself an introvert, but I do have a lot of introverted tendencies where I tend to be uncomfortable in groups, and sometimes I could be comfortable in certain groups and not in others, and I take on the sensitivities of everything, internally and externally. And there's some situations that I'm not comfortable in, and if I know that, I'm going to adjust to that. Okay, so it's a matter.
She talks about different studies that she's done, and that the actual brain is a little bit different.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to find out what characteristic we can do that in a follow-up. But, you know, I think it really comes down to utilizing any kind of trait for the best. Whatever
right.
that may be, you know, we're fortunate to have you and her who've done different things on this and studies and work with people and to find out how we can better utilize these traits.
Right.
You know, the focus
and
seems to be on the challenge, like it's some kind of challenge. But I think what we really want to focus on is, like any other characteristic, you know, how do we better utilize this?
The way we best utilize it is to know about it, is to know more about it. And as I said, between talking to different people about it, between doing research, you know, for my book and also writing about my life as a highly sensitive person, you can actually look back on your life and see how you dealt with situations. And I'm finding that the older I am, the more experience I have and the more I know, the more I can work with the qualities that I have. And there's just...
You mentioned something about, because it's kind of like one of those situations, even though this is a physical situation, fibromyalgia has been something also that's been a condition, a physical condition that people have had for many years, and it's been passed off as, something other than a physical condition. Usually it was considered to be, someone with, depression or, something like this, when in actuality it's
something. This isn't something where it's not a disease. It's not an illness.
No.
It's just a part. It's an inherited, like if you have blue eyes or blonde hair, it's an inherited trait. And what I try to emphasize is the, as I said before, there's just too many misconceptions about it. And I think the biggest challenge for highly sensitive people is to characterize themselves in a negative way, okay? Because it seems that the better we feel about ourselves, the better people will treat us. So what I really want to, and also if you've thought about yourself in a certain way for, for most of your life, it's hard to change the feelings about yourself. But I just want to let everybody know that you can change. And the more that the better you feel about yourself, the better you're going to get out of life. And that's what it comes down to.
Well, I think the study that the biologists did was very interesting about how they termed it as a survival strategy, that the highly sensitive person is more observant before acting. I think that's really significant because that kind of indicates that there's a specific characteristic in a highly sensitive person that can be utilized for different things. And just like anything, if you're an actor or if you're a singer or if you're, good at teaching, these are all characteristics that, people have that can be utilized
given some qualities of highly sensitive people, we're very creative. We're able to look deeply into things where, we'll look at something in a certain way and another person won't look at it in the same way we do. So I think
sensitive person needs to take a step back.
Well, I think we take for granted the good things that we have. And also another thing that this is very important, that highly sensitive person is not a label, but it's just a term to describe something. And I think that it's hard for people to be, to be characterized in a certain way that could be construed as a negative. Being sensitive can be.
Sure.
Another big challenge is being a sensitive male or being a sensitive female is sometimes looked at as a sign of weakness. And, the more we hear from others about that, the more we're going to believe it. So I just want to, that's why it's very important that highly sensitive people connect with one another, and that's why I really like to connect, through email, through teleconferences. I think it's very important that other people talk to other highly sensitive people to actually realize that this is a good thing, and this can be, we don't have to buy into other people's definition of negative feelings about sensitive people.
Well, I think, the important aspect, too, that because there's such a vast amount of self-help information out there, people probably have a tendency, just on that alone, to misconstrue what direction they need to go. I have different feelings, and so where do I place this? And so, the idea with something like this can be very devastating, very debilitating, I should say. And so when reaching out to individuals out there, they need to understand the level of what some of these characteristics mean to them.
Right,
and
right.
Why?
There's a lot of self-help information out there, and I've been the beneficiary of self-help because I've read books, I've gone to seminars, I've listened to tapes, and we have the ability to pick and choose what's good for us because not all the information is good. So we have the ability to pick and choose what we want for ourselves. And what I try to do is I'm giving a personal perspective of this subject. Okay, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a regular person. Found out about this 5 years ago, and I'm talking about my experience. And it was very hard for me to do that because, you know, to actually talk about your life in a public forum, it can be very difficult. But it's very enlightening. It's very cleansing to get your thoughts out there. That's why I encourage others to journal. They don't necessarily have to have it in a public forum, but actually it's very cleansing to put things down on paper and to utilize the lessons that you've learned from the past. And although some of the experiences might not be positive experiences, but you can take these experiences, good and bad, and learn from it and move forward with it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, these people are out there misunderstood. It's a difficult process for them, you know, and you're bringing clarification to them. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about, you know, a list of maybe a couple things that people can do. You know, if you're listening out there and you're interested in finding out how you can work with this to find out if your characteristics fall into some of these categories. Obviously, you can visit Cliff's website. There's a self-test on there. And we're, again, going to show that on the blog so that you will know exactly where to contact Cliff if you want to get involved with his newsletter monthly, which is a great newsletter. I get it, and it's really very informative, and how to do a meetup group with him. He's got also teleconferences. So, you know, I'm pointing you in that direction to, you know, let you know where you can further get some more information. But we're going to talk about the, you know, different things that you can do if you have some of these characteristics. And you were going to talk about some of the overcoming of the challenges of these characteristics. So we want to get into that a little bit later. You know, but yeah, I mean, it's just really one of those things that's kind of new to people. So it's probably a little harder for you to get this point across. Do you find that was kind of challenging at all? I mean, you know, reaching out to people?
I found it difficult when I tried to start the meetup group where originally 26 people were interested in the group, and when I finally organized it, nobody signed up. Also, I find that some highly sensitive people in the group don't like to be characterized. I mentioned before about the label being HSP.
Yes.
And, you know, that's really a personal choice, you know, whether it be in an in-person meeting, whether it be in the teleseminars, you can remain as anonymous as you want. You don't necessarily have to tell other people about it if you're uncomfortable. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable. And what I try to do is to try to provide a safe, supportive and non-judgmental atmosphere. And I think that's very important for everyone to be in that situation. And sometimes it's difficult for people that we know. There's some people we can talk to about other things, and you know, we tend to find that it's sometimes it's hard to have things in common with people that are not like us. And that can be very discouraging, because that can be very frustrating in the fact that we expect people to think and act like us. In fact, I did a article in my March newsletter about my cat can't move. And it's basically about trying to expect other people to act in a way that they can't. Okay, I gave the example of trying to make, you know, playing around with my cats. I tried to make my cat move. Okay, so he's looking at me, and you know, they're both looking at me, my two cats, Prissy and Charlie. They're looking at me, and they look very puzzled. They want to do it, but they just can't. okay? And I use that analogy as a way of saying that there's some people we expect to act in a certain way, and we're disappointed when they can't, okay? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to expect behavior from people that haven't had a history of acting in that way. So we're setting up ourselves for disappointment because they're not going to give us what we want. Sometimes we need different people for different kinds of things. If you need somebody that's positive and supportive, well, you might need a certain person for that, someone who's given the characteristics and, you know, the ability to do that, okay? Sometimes we need people to just listen to us, okay, that are non-judgmental, okay? Sometimes we need people to leave us alone. We need people around us, but sometimes we have to be around people that will give us the freedom to have the space that we need to recharge and re-energize ourselves.
Yeah, and that can be definitely misconstrued, you know, in a lot of ways.
Especially in social situations where, let's say we're at a party or if we're at a meeting and we have the need to leave. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel guilty for wanting to leave, and sometimes we stay in situations longer than we should. Okay, something I also mention in whether it be an in-person call or whether it be on the phone, whatever, I always emphasize that people are free to come and go as they please and that they don't have to give an explanation of why. Okay, a real friend, a real person who's positive in your life will understand your needs and not question you on it. Okay, if people expect you to go go above your physical and emotional capabilities, well, you know, you kind of have to back away from that. I know that sometimes it's hard. You can't just keep people out of your life, but you need that ability to pick and choose and to really know what you need. And if you are uncomfortable with certain people in different situations, you shouldn't feel guilty for not wanting to take the actions that you need to take.
Well, I think, you know, with the highly sensitive person needs to take the personal responsibility to avoid certain situations that they know that they themselves will put themselves into and as well as other people around them. And
right.
You might be getting involved in a relationship. They may want to tell the person, you know, I have these certain feelings, traits, you know, and I want you to be aware of. You know, I think it probably would just come out naturally because they've found themselves in situations before and know that this is probably going to happen, so I'm going to let this person know.
Right. It's very hard to do that. That's a very good point because it's very hard to do that because we feel guilty for having, you know, for telling other people what we need. Okay, I don't know. It could be an inherited trait. It just could be part of our just general makeup, whatever. But we've been conditioned one way or another to kind of suck it up and to just take it and to, you know, sometimes we feel self-conscious for letting our needs be known. And it's really something that I really want to emphasize that we shouldn't feel self-conscious about it. We really need to teach other people how to treat us. And that's not a very easy thing to do if you haven't done it. So you really have to take steps in small steps. You're not going to go from one extreme to the other where you're going to, you know, lay the riot act down in certain situations. But highly sensitive people are very tactful. They kind of know how to deal with people. And I think they have to use their natural intuition to deal with situations and to have their needs known, but have their needs known in a non-threatening way.
Well,
we blame other people for not meeting our needs, but we kind of have to blame ourselves for not letting other people know what we need.
Well, that's a good point. And I was going to make another point about that is just in general, regardless, you know, obviously the topic is highly sensitive people, but highly sensitive people need to be educated as well to, you know, to work with their what best suits them, what atmosphere best suits me. Am I
right.
going to be better off in this situation and then I can avoid all the rest? Or, you know, it is about decisions with anything that we do. I work on a certain level with, I've been starting to work with, you know, young single moms and working a little bit more into that myself. You know, one of the things that I have to emphasize is decision making, you know,
right.
And so I think in anything we do in life, okay, it's about choices we've made. And all of us, like you state many times, you know, this is really about a life experience. And that's what a lot of us can bring to you know, a situation is, you know, why there are support groups. You know, why support groups are so successful, because people can talk about different things that they've been through and share that with others, and that can help them to understand, you know, because it's an innate thing.
It's very empowering when other people talk about their apprehensions and, you know, different things that push their buttons, and it's very empowering to know that other people feel the same way. Sometimes we feel very different in the fact that we feel that we're different from others, and when you're different from others, it is kind of a stigma. You know, we've been conditioned to really blend in with the crowd and not be who we are, not make waves and things like that. These are things that I was brought up with when I was a child. And, you know, we really have to get away from that thinking. It's really a mindset change in the fact that you have to know, like you mentioned, decision-making. That's another seminar that I've done, and it's been very successful, and the fact that decision-making is very difficult because, I'll give you a personal example. Okay, if you make a bad decision, it automatically, this is the way I felt before, and I'm not totally cured of this quote, but when you make a bad decision, it's kind of a reflection on you personally. And that's the mindset that I had, that, okay, you know, you made a mistake and now you're stupid and, you know, all these kinds of things. This is the kind of self-talk that I was giving myself. So I was really driving myself crazy to not make a bad decision. Now, being a perfectionist is also part of the trait. So being a perfectionist, being self-conscious, having, you know, sometimes having low self-esteem, this is all why decision-making can be difficult. So what I try to emphasize in my seminars is to, first of all, to know what you want to do and to not be afraid to make decisions, get all the information you can, and to make decisions, not rash decisions, but based on information that you've had. Now, also being a highly sensitive person, deep thinking is a big part of that. So deep thinking, being a perfectionist, getting the information you need are qualities that will help us make better decisions. So that's how we can utilize our trait rather than taking the negative traits and being afraid of making a wrong decision.
Well, it sounds like highly sensitive people need flexibility.
We do. We do. We do need flexibility in the fact that, you know, we need to know that we have choice. It's for me, I have issues of controlling my life, which is why I've been self-employed for 30 years, because I felt that I couldn't work for anybody, that I needed control of my life. I found it more of a challenge. It was more of a stressful situation for me to be employed rather than be self-employed. Whereas you think, you know, being in your own business, you think would be more stressful. For me, being self-employed is less stressful than working in a situation where, you know, I feel that I'm constantly being watched, you know, getting along with different people. Some people aren't going to like you. So I'd rather set my own course, chart my own course. And I think that's a big thing with highly sensitive people, and the fact they have to have more control in their lives.
Which is different from being a controlling person.
Right. Right. We really want to control aspects in our life because it creates less stress. Okay? That's why I want to emphasize that it's very important that we can set our own, we can chart our own course. We have to know what we want. We have to know if people are overstepping their bounds. We have to let them know in a tactful way that they've overstepped their bounds, okay? I've heard millions of, you know, I've been accused of being too sensitive, taking things too personally.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, you're so sensitive, okay? Now, you know, you could say, yeah, I am sensitive. Or you could say, you know what, it did bother, you know, this situation does bother me. And you might, you know, you say, and also the tone of voice is very important too, because you could say something, and if the tone of voice is not in a positive way, that can create conflict. And what you don't want to get into a shouting match. You don't want to get into a situation where you're trying to defend your position. You just need to know that this bothered me. I'd really appreciate it if you could not do this, or, you know, something to the situation where you're not putting the other person on the defensive. And that's very important. You need to let your feelings be known, not put the other person on the defensive. And this way there's more understanding. You'll gain understand. Okay, people will understand you better, but also people will respect you more. Okay, because if you constantly take the negative things that you don't like, people are going to do more of that, and people are going to have less respect for you, and you're going to become a human doormat. So the sooner go ahead.
Yeah, it just seems to me that you know, when we've gone through these segments with this, the highly sensitive person should really, and you can challenge me on this, but the highly sensitive person should really be the one to understand a lot, because it is something that they have, and if another person adapts freely, it is something unique. So it's kind of one of the situations in a relationship where you would have to be okay with these changes that you would need to adapt to for the highly sensitive person.
Right.
The highly sensitive person should not expect the world around them to change. It should be more of a
And you know what? Mind. That's a point. That's where I get frustrated a lot. Because I can be in a situation where, especially like let's say in a store or a situation where I feel that people aren't, very frustrating when I feel that people aren't doing their best, whether it be in a service situation.
Yeah.
And I get very frustrated when I think that people don't care, okay?
Right.
When I'm in a retail store and the service isn't that good or whatever, I take it as a personal affront that this is, you know, how could they do this? And I expect people, like, I'm not perfect, but I try to do the right thing. And I get very, very frustrated in the fact that, people aren't going to think the way I do. You know, we just have to accept this. We have to not only accept ourselves the way we are and to work with what we have, we have to be very accepting of others, good and bad.
Yeah, it's really sad. I know we've talked about this before. What's really sad is I think I'm beginning to see it in children, you know, and young adults, and being a highly sensitive person, you know, we both know that, waiting until you're an adult to find that out really took a lot away from your youth. It took a lot away from the quality of life that you could have brought to your adult life.
Right.
Had you have
right.
known and been able to work with it. So, now that we are aware of so many things, this being one of them, what, if anything, are you doing to work with younger people so that they can learn earlier in their lives? Or is it something
right,
you think?
Right. I wish you, it's really funny you mention that, because I do mention in my book about how I wish I knew this information earlier in my life, because I would have made things a little easier. But you live and you learn, and, you know, sometimes you don't know about different things. To give you an example, like, I had a problem. Okay, my father was very well-meaning, also a highly sensitive person. He was a highly sensitive person. And he was I felt very uncomfortable being in front of groups and doing different things. And Little League Baseball was something that he pushed me into because he felt that I needed to be more socialized, whatever. And that was a very traumatic part of my childhood because, first of all, I was tall for my age, so being that was being different, but also the sensitivity that I had, criticism, also worrying about making a mistake and to be in front of people. And there were times that I would get so frustrated and so nervous and to think of all these things that I actually broke out in hives during games. And if my father would have known about that, my parents would have known about that, they wouldn't have pushed me in a way that they felt was positive. But looking back on it many years, that wasn't the best thing. And if you're a parent and you have children, you really have to look at them as what will really help them. Sometimes pushing them into situations might not be the best course of action.
Well, I've often felt that way. I see many parents doing things of that nature, and I've battled with that for a long time.
Right.
Because, again, it came down to, well, I'm kind of a humble person in that sense, and I just always say, well, what would make me more right than that person? And so I always look at both sides and say, well, why do I think so strongly on this, and why do they think so strongly on this? And I kind of weigh it.
Right.
It's sad. It's really sad to see. It's not that it's just sad to see this with the kids, but it's more of a situation of, is it really beneficial, or have we done enough studies to find out if it's beneficial for that child to be pushed in the long run? And I think what I've seen is just, looking around me for 20 years is, what kids have benefited from this and what kids haven't. And I think it's based on the kid. It really comes down
to
what.
That's true. Everybody has different personalities. And I think you have to look at, there's no one set rule on how to raise a child. You have to really know what situations your child is comfortable in. And that's sometimes, you'll have children that are extroverted, some are introverted, and if a child is introverted, well, they might want to do more creative things. Maybe sports might not be a good thing. Maybe you might want to push them into art. Not push them, but encourage them to actually it's good if you can incorporate your interest and your strengths into your life early in your life, to really look at what the strengths are, to see what the interest in, and the best thing that a parent can do is to encourage their child to utilize the things that they're naturally interested in, and to encourage them if they feel overwhelmed. Bullying is a big subject. It seems that cyberbullying and bullying in school is becoming more widespread, and I think that the more widespread it's becoming, the more programs that are going to be in place in the schools. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of that going on.
That's something I think that the subject is being brought to the forefront, and I think more is being done, but I think more has to be done. And the fact that you don't just sweep this under the rug, that kids are kids. Being bullied can be cause very traumatic experiences, and that can really follow you throughout your whole life. So I think
sensitive person.
Well, that's it. And I think for everybody, it's a real situation where negative childhood experiences can really affect the course of your life. And the more that we're aware of it, the more information that's out there. I'm working on programs that I'd like to educate kids more about the subject and their parents, because it is easier, it's part of the personality. And as I said, whether you're a highly sensitive person or not, the more you know about yourself, the more you utilize the best things that you have.
Right. I think that it really stands to reason that with something like this, we should be really looking into doing it earlier on, because it eats up so much of who you are if you don't. If you wait until you're an adult,
It does. Elaine Aaron wrote her book in 1996, and I found out about the her book in 2005. Okay, now I was really into self-help for 20 years, as I mentioned before, that I've really, you know, it's really funny how I just gravitated towards self-help because it made me feel better about myself. But also looking back on it, I was really gathering information about, because I really needed to know more about myself. I realized that something was different about myself, and I really wanted to beat the bushes about information. Okay, so Elaine Aaron's book was out in 1996. It took me 9 years to get the information. Okay, and I want to encourage everyone to be a perpetual student, where we're in the information age. It's much easier now than ever before to get information, and I think the more that we try to learn, the better life we're going to have, because we're going to have more tools to have the kind of lives that we want. And the work that I provide is, I really want to just emphasize that these are good traits. We do have good traits. There are challenging parts to being a highly sensitive person, but if you have the strategy to work with these traits, people will not push your buttons as often. Okay, I know I basically want to say this is something you're never going to be cured of. Okay, I hear too many comments through email, through the phone, whatever, of how many people, you know, many people want to change. They wish they could take a pill and wish that they could just rid themselves of, quote, this disease. And it's not that kind of thing. I want to emphasize that it's not that kind of thing. And you shouldn't have to change yourself. Okay, you're really fine the way you are. And everybody's different. When you think about it, everybody has some insecurity about themselves. I'm talking about a person who outwardly feels confident. Okay, these are the people that could be bullies. Okay, and what they try to do is to put people down in order to make themselves feel good. Okay, so everyone has some degree of uncertainty, of uncomfortableness about themselves, and we all have this. And this is something we can't cure. This is something that's a part of us. And acceptance of ourselves, acceptance of other people the way they are, and let's move on. Let's move on. Let's not try to change ourselves. Let's not try to change other people.
I think that's important. I really do. I think that that's the key. I mean, times are different now. There's a lot more aggressive behavior. You know, in general, in schools,
right,
especially with kids. And I think what's different is the adults in these situations are not either A, in a capacity to do something about them, or B, you know, it's just really come down to everybody just feels that this is appropriate.
I think it's coming out in the open that, you know, this kind of behavior, you know, bullying and, you know, trying to, you know, fighting and everything else, this is not appropriate behavior. And more is being written about it. There's more awareness on the school's part. There's more awareness on the parents' part. And especially parents of highly sensitive children, we need to encourage our children.
But if they don't know about
that's why I want to try to provide information to the parents, to the children, and then this way they're not going to be as self-conscious. There's always going to be some insecurities, as I said.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything you can really bring to a school or to the parents and say, well, you know, because there's this new phenomenon, we're gonna change everything. I think what comes down to is educating them
so that
they can tell their kids.
It's hard for kids to go to school and to, you know, there's so much peer pressure and there's so much, we know the kids can be so cruel to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And highly sensitive people, highly sensitive kids, they might not tell their parents. Okay? They might be ashamed to tell the teacher, to tell their parents. Okay? And it's going to manifest itself in situations where the kid's not going to want, you know, children are not going to want to go to school. They could have, they could have stomach problems. They could have emotional problems.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the kids don't know what the problem is. sometimes they can't pinpoint it. And sometimes a parent has to kind of draw it out of their children to see, okay, well, what's going on in school, and, you know, try to talk to the child, but also try to talk to the teacher too, because it can also manifest itself in bad grades. If your child is a good student and he's getting, you know, he's getting grades that are not appropriate for what the abilities are, well, you know, there's some kind of problem.
You bring up a really good point because, you know, that's very true. And what, you know, manifests differently nowadays with the highly sensitive person is there's so much to overwhelm you out there, as you know, as an adult. Can you imagine? You can only imagine what that's like for a young child now. Back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, 30 years ago, when, you know, we had a classroom setting, the teachers were on board with sensitivity, compassion, more so than they are today, I think, in the elementary level anyway. And, you know, we just had an intellectuality across the board that was a little bit on the higher side level-wise. And, you know, today we've changed a lot of that. We've become a little bit more barbaric, you know. I mean, the intellectuality has just gone out the window. And
well,
so
yeah.
I'm being pretty derogatory, but I feel that way. And so when you look at a classroom setting and the teachers,
well, you know, I'm just amazed how there seems to be disrespect to the teachers. Okay, when I went to school, you never disrespected a teacher. Okay, and now, you know, the kids.
You were the minority if you did.
The kids just say anything, and I blame the parents because the parents, they get it from the parents. Okay, they're not getting the proper guidance from the parents. Another problem too with I want to get back to the highly sensitive child. A good part of the problem is that the parents of highly sensitive kids, if they're highly sensitive, they don't know about their own high sensitivity. Okay, so if they don't know about their high sensitivity, how are they going to pass on techniques to their kids when they don't understand themselves?
Very much so, and the teachers aren't going to be able to be watchful of this because they're not going to understand it either. And what can they do? I mean, there's really not much you can do to dodge every highly sensitive person out there. Again, I think it comes from the highly sensitive person to work with this, but in school settings for young children, at least if they can be aware, you know, you're not going to change the bullies right now. I know
that
you're not going to change that.
Right, you're not going to change the bullies, but you can change the way a child reacts to the bullying.
Try to, yes. It's difficult because the peer pressure and the teacher's
There's a lot of peer pressure, and also the teachers are under a great deal of pressure because they have more, there's more students, there's more things to deal with curriculum-wise. They have to get in so much information in a year. So they can't focus on individual children, okay? That's why it's important that parents of highly sensitive people take the initiative to contact the teacher, go to parent-teacher conferences. If you find that, you know, the grades are not right and, you know, the child is not reacting positively to school, you know, you got to talk to the teacher. You got to talk to the principal.
Right. Well, we don't want to misconstrue everybody who's listening that bullying is strictly about highly sensitive people.
The bullying is any kind of situation where there's challenges to highly sensitive kids. We really need to make the teacher aware of it, to have the teacher on the child's side, okay? Because, you know, the teacher's got, I don't know, 20, 25 students in the class. They can't deal with all these things. So sometimes they need to, you know, they need to be made aware that there is a problem. Can you help? You know, can you shed light on it? Can you help? Okay, I think if it's brought to the attention of the teacher, I think the teacher would be very helpful. Okay, that's not going to be helpful in all situations, but as a general rule, I find that, you know, educators are very, they want the kids to do well, okay? And sometimes they don't understand themselves. As I said, they're dealing with so many different kids, so many different personalities. You know, you just can't analyze one. But if they're brought out, if it's brought out to them that, you know, there seems to be a problem, you know, can you help us or give us some thoughts on that, then the teacher's going to be more aware of it. So I think it's communication on everyone's part.
I want to emphasize, it's time for us to wrap the show up here. I want to emphasize, Cliff, I'm so glad that we were able to do this again. And
thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'm going to blog the listeners on how to reach you to further get information if they want to join one of your groups.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, how to find you on Facebook and Twitter, the two best known places to find anyone.
That's how we
and,
found each other.
Yes. And so, we'll do another show with you, and we'll be looking forward to that. And thank you very much, Cliff, for being here.
Thank you, Liz. I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.